Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider in studio. What's up, Bob?
Not much, boys. How about you?
Oh, we're doing well. We're trying to get a read on the ceiling of Kasperi Kapanen.
And oh, boy, everybody's fired up.
Oh, man. Yeah. He is the next William Nylander.
You want to talk offer sheets now?
Well, that's exactly right. You would be crazy not to have an offer sheet ready for this guy.
Well, let's not get crazy about it, Bob, but I will say watching him play, I don't know how this plays out or what the time frame is for the organization to look and say, you know what, William Nylander, we got a guy here that can play, so you can just sit and marinate on this, and you think you are in the driver's seat? You're not, because this guy is fully capable as of right now.
Couple of things that I'll say about Kapanen. Number one, when the trade was made and the Leafs traded Kessel to Pittsburgh, Jimmy Rutherford told me on the day he made the trade, he goes, well, we got the best player, Phil Kessel, right now. He says, there will come a time, and it's not that far off, when the best player in the deal will be Kasperi Kapanen. That's how much he thought of him. Like, they drafted him in the first round. They anticipated he was going to be a really good player, but he was going to need time to develop. And even now, he's not even close to a finished product. But there was no question the Pittsburgh Penguins thought very highly of him. And when the trade was made and everybody just assumed, well, he's going to be a fourth line, speedy, penalty killer guy, the Penguins believed that there was much greater upside than that. That's number one. Number two, as far as everybody extrapolating, you know, the Nylander thing, okay, Nylander's redundant now, or you can push him off to the side. We've got Kapanen and going down all that road, and they're not going to be able to afford them all, and there's going to have to be a trade, and people are trying to extrapolate what the value of Kasperi Kapanen would be when his contract's up at the end of the year. All those things are valid and understandable. But remember one thing about the Leafs, the position they're in. They, you know, if they want to bridge Kasperi Kapanen, they can bridge Kasperi Kapanen. And same thing with Nylander. I mean, if it comes down to it and he doesn't want to do a long-term deal, you know, at some point he's got to play. And the Leafs have the hammer right now. They do. And so... What that allows you to do if you bridge one of these guys, let's say you get a long-term deal done with Nylander, you may not be in a position to want to do a long-term deal at a significant number for Kapanen if he were to keep scoring and continue to flourish. So maybe you do a bridge deal. And then over the course of that two-year period in the bridge deal, you sort out. Where's Nylander at? Where's Kapanen at? Where's our cap at? What about the rest of the guys on the team? What are we going to do with Connor Brown? What are we going to do with this guy? And you decide who you're going to move, when you're going to move them, how you're going to move them. And it just gives you more flexibility. So that's a given, I think, for this Leaf team, that they're going to have to find, they're going to have to make a lot of hard calls on a lot of players, and using bridge contracts and using the tools that the CBA gives you is what you need to do.
Bob McKenzie in studio. All right. Need you to play hockey historian here for us. So Matthews with two more points last night. That gives him 16 in his first seven games. This is courtesy of our buddy Jonas Siegel. Jonas tweeting this out. He may have just ripped it off NHL.com. I don't know. But players with 16 points in their first seven games over the last 30 years. Lemieux, Gretzky, Sakic, Stastny, LaFontaine, Nichols, Stevens, Goulet, Brown, Makarov, now Matthews.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys.
That's 80s hockey, too.
80s hockey, where they were. Every game was 8-7, and to that point. So, yeah, it's quite an accomplishment. He's on quite a roll. I don't know what else to say beyond that. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the leveling out process is going to be like. I don't know. You know, is he going to. You know, in the past, there have been periods, I'm sure, where he's gone 8, 9, 10 games and hasn't done a lot. You know, will that happen this year? You know, everybody would say no, it's impossible because he's this juggernaut who just can't be stopped. But as I say, I try to be fairly unimpressed with whatever happens in the first two or three weeks of the season. And it's hard not to be impressed by what he's done. And, he's quicker, his shot looks better. The Leafs are so much a better team when, Tavares is playing extremely well and he's insulating Matthews and vice versa. You know, Marner's been fantastic. So it's hard not to be excited if you're a Leaf fan. But I like to wait before the first month of the season is over before I feel like I know where things are headed.
We were talking off air and talking about Frederik Andersen. And even if he's 99%, why would you even think about playing him Thursday? Like, it just something doesn't smell right. The smell test compared to what Babcock was saying, that he's playing Thursday, and then Freddie comes out today and is like, yeah, it's, I'm swelling my knee, I'm not sure what's going on. Like, the disconnect early on, like,
although that's, you know what, I thought about this at first, and then I thought, you know what, that's just Mike being Mike.
Yeah,
Mike says it for all the players, and then the next thing he's going to say is, yeah, that's why they have sports science guys, because if it was up to the coach, everybody'd be playing. You know,
it's the old Daryl Sutter. Like,
yeah, exactly. You're in, and then the guy has to come and say, no, I'm not in, I can't go, and or somebody will come in and tell the coach he can't go.
Right,
and they're like, okay, no problem, and then Babs won't care. He'll just come out and say, yeah, they told me he's not going today, so okay, he's not going.
And Sparks are going next Thursday, man up. Yes. Bob McKenzie in studio. So we know what's going to hit tonight at midnight in this country. Marijuana will be legalized. It's been used for a long time, but now it's legalized, and there are 7 Canadian teams in the league. There's a team in Colorado. There's other states down there where it's
California.
Legal. California. The league continues to say they don't care about the rules and regulations of states and provinces and countries, et cetera. They're going to continue to have a strict drug policy, and marijuana is not accepted. But at what point do you think they're going to say, we have to adjust?
Yeah, you know,
does
what?
That ever come up or no?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure that, you know, you've got to change with the times over time. But right now, you know, just because it's happening in Canada, and obviously Canada's, you know, the dominant part of the National Hockey League, as you say, only 7 of 31 teams are in Canada, but, you know, it's a Canadian game. And so I don't know. I have no idea where it's going to go. I mean, I don't know how much the legalization changes anything. You know, there are players that obviously use it, and I don't think they were waiting for it necessarily to be legalized, but nevertheless, you know, it's...
Could you see the PA using it, though? As I could see at some point one of the players' association, I think it'll start in the NFL, where they're going to fight and say, our players use this because they're banged up.
Yeah,
and it helps
absolutely.
Them sleep.
And, you know, it sounds like a cliche when you say the medicinal use of marijuana, but, you know, anybody who's taking cancer treatments or in chronic pain will tell you that there are certainly benefits to it. And coming without some of the other side effects that pharmaceuticals, you know, big pharmaceuticals would have on you. So, yeah, I would think it's going to be a talking point. I don't think anything's going to happen right now. Obviously, the league's basically put up the wall and said, no, everything's status quo. And that's for now. But there's a new CBA going to come up, whether it's in 2 years or 3 or 4 or whatever. And I'm sure this will be a discussion point and part of it all, I would think.
That'd be an interesting.
That's where I was heading. I think this is going to have to be talked about in the CBA and put into in the next agreement, because just like Bob said, like, this, the times are changing. You have to morph with them, and there will be rules in place so that if something happens, there is going to be precedent. Like, there'll be the first time something happens with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the NHLPA does have a substance abuse program. They've got lots of support if you reach out for it, or unfortunately, if you have an issue sometimes and get in trouble, they are there for support. I've known people that have been in it, and they've done a very good job. But this is kind of new, and it's uncharted territory. I you're right. I played with players. I played with one guy who I'd pick up to drive to the rink, and he smoked a joint every morning. Like, I don't know why, I guess.
On his way to practice.
Like, just that, I wake up and smoke a joint. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was his, like...
I played with a guy that got called by the NHL, and they said, we think you have a problem with weed, and he said, no, I have a problem without it, and hung up the phone.
Like, it's around, but, you know...
it's a pretty good line.
That's a great line.
No, we think you have a problem with weed. No, I actually have a problem without it, so thank you, and hung up the phone.
Don't ever call me again.
I think we all know somebody who is used recreationally, or, you know... or medicinally, it has to be integrated into our society. I think until the parameters are in place,
I
want to
see a CBA battle where, like, you know, Donald Fear comes out and he's like, this is the hill we're going to die on. making sure that it's legalized within the framework of the CBA. And the NHL being like, okay, then that means you can't go to the Olympics. Or, you know, like, imagine a battle. But this is, like, we're joking about it, but, like, you see come out all the time in the NFL.
Players,
like, 80% of players
but it
use
is a
it.
Some players use it for medicinal purposes. But there's other guys that are playing
like Fortnite and smoking weed.
But you can't go to the Olympics taking a Sudafed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not. I don't think you're going to be able to smoke a joint. I don't know because I know for a fact in playing with guys who were going to the Olympics, there was a list of things. I remember Ginla being deathly sick, had the flu, couldn't take Advil, cold and sinus because it's got something in it that would show a trace. Like, it is ridiculous. Again, I never had the opportunity to play in the Olympics, but I thought some of those rules that they had were ridiculous.
Oh, they're so stupid. A lot of it's
like Nick
stupid.
Backstrom. Didn't Nick Backstrom?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the World Championships, and he didn't get to play in the gold medal game.
Mm-hmm. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. He'll be with us later in the week as well.